Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, as my wife was giving announcements, I had a really good idea. Praise the Lord. What? I had this really great idea. I was thinking when it is concerning the, you know, Pastor Michael's, at Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy's house, we're doing the ice cream social, and I was thinking it'd be a really great idea if y'all brought extra chairs and just planted them around the property. Just remember, it was my idea. That's all I want you to, that's all, the last one to say it. Thanks, brother. Yeah. See, this is why we have Scott. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. There was something that the Lord dealt with me with, though I heard this in my spirit. There's freedom in knowing that if God has instructed us to do something, that we are well able to do it. But the deciding factor is your yes. Amen? There is freedom in knowing that God has instructed us to do something. Whatever God tells us to do, whatever the Bible tells us to do, or whatever the Spirit tells us to do, even when it seems difficult, even when it seems hard, even when it seems to be way too much, if it's been instructed to us, we know this, that we are well able to do it. Because God would never require anything of us that was impossible to be done. Amen. He would never require anything of us that he couldn't do through us. And so when God has instructed us to do it, instead of getting upset, we should be excited. We should be stirred. We should understand, wait a minute, this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to get out of where I was. This is my opportunity to get into where he would have me be. Glory to God. And I'm just so thankful for that, because as I have learned to say yes to the Lord, God continually blesses me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
I said God continually blesses me. And when I say God continually blesses me, I don't just mean with, you know, stuff or anything like that. I mean, stuff I've learned is just a byproduct of serving God. It's not really anything that, you know, is really all of all that much value. That's not where true happiness is. That's not where true peace is. But the byproduct, but serving God and where he blesses you is he blesses you with himself. Amen. And that's the most wonderful thing that you can possibly get from the Lord is him. I mean, he's the greatest gift. He said, when he could think of no greater gift to give, he gave us Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And so, you know, many of us, we still haven't really even understood what that means. And I would say that all of us, none of us have really figured that out. But we should continually strive to see what that means. When it means that he could give us, I mean, if you were going to be like, okay, if you were the creator of everything and you had the ability to give anybody anything at any time, that you wanted to give, and the greatest thing that you could think of giving them, and you decided to give that to them, that should speak to us.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That should tell us something. That should tell us something about who our God is.
Yeah.
That should tell us about what he wants to do in our lives.
Yeah.
And so when those things seem impossible, we have to just remind ourselves of this simple truth that he gave us Jesus. Hallelujah. And if he gave us Jesus, how will he not with him also give us, freely give us, all things? Amen. And there's freedom in seeing that. There's freedom in knowing that. And we need to live in that place.
That's right.
That's what faith is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that is not part of my notes, but that is definitely good for us to hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it is also free, no charge. Amen. Glory to God. Well, today's message is called Called Together. Amen. And you know, last night I got to minister on faithfulness, and I was really blessed to be able to do so. I'm blessed to be able to do this. This is actually kind of an extension of last week's message. I think I'm going to actually get into what I didn't get into last week, and so I'm looking forward to that, especially because I think there's some good things in there for us. So as we get into this message, you know, I just encourage you as well to hook up with faith and to believe that we get everything that God has for us, because we can either get it or not get it. You know, I can either trudge through this message and just get something out and we leave and that's it, or we can sit here together and believe God for the fullness of what he has, amen, in this service. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Amos 3. Amen. Amos 3. This is one of those places in the Bible, whenever I tell people to turn there, I always have that brief moment of, I hope I can find it. And then the Holy Spirit just helped me out as I flipped open my book. I flipped right open to Amos 3. So if you didn't get there, you're just not as spiritual as I am, and that's okay. Praise the Lord. But we'll bring you along. Glory to God. Amen. This is probably back in the where all the pages are still sticking together, and they're, you know what I mean? You can easily skip chapters. Glory to God. But Amos is a short book, so you can skip by it fast. But if you're real spiritual, one time I was in I pay attention. Amen?
Yeah.
It's good to pay attention. One of the things the Lord taught me early on is to watch and pay attention.
Yeah.
Because if you watch and you pay attention, you can learn an awful lot. And one time I was in a service with, I was sitting next to a minister, and I'm not going to name the minister, you probably know who this minister is, but I was sitting next to the minister, and this is a minister that is real strong in the word, you know, and one that I've relied on many times to help me sort some things out. But I remember when they said to go to some book in the Bible, you know. And this minister, I actually watched as this minister turned back to the beginning of the book and found the, you know, what page it starts on. Instead of digging through the book, you know, because you always start, when you start flipping through the Bible, you think, okay, I think it's generally in this area. I don't know if you're like I am, but then you second guess yourself a little bit. But you start flipping through and you know you're near it, but then you're like, no, I think I passed it or something. And then you start getting nervous. And so you start flipping a little bit faster and then a little bit faster. And then pretty soon, some of you are like, I don't have any idea what you're talking. Well, you need to read your Bible once in a while. Amen. Glory to God. But praise the Lord. But you know, you're flipping back and now you're like, now people are watching me. And you feel like everybody in the church is watching. Oh, we're just waiting for Pastor Jeff to turn to the book and then we can go on with the message. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is all where we live, though, I think. Anyways, amen. So instead of doing all that, you can bypass all that rigmarole. Thank you. Good word. You can bypass all that stuff and just go right to the beginning where it tells you what page it starts on. And then if you can, as long as you can count, you can get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So most of us can get there. And some of us who can't, well, just put your Bible down, look up here and smile. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Pretty short and to the point.
Yeah.
Amen. The answer to this question is no. Two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. Agreement in the word, agreement as you're walking together, agreement in whatever you're doing is important. You know, this is why, this is the difference between a marriage that fails or a marriage that is successful, is when two people can agree on something or they find a way, a path to agreement. You know, sometimes you're not always going to exactly agree. And that's actually good for the purpose of what I'm bringing this together, because we're talking about being called together. You know, it's important that we agree, that we walk in agreement. And walking in agreement, as the Bible talks about, doesn't necessarily mean that we're all going to necessarily see everything eye to eye every single moment, every single day. But that's not what it's asking for. You know, I love this. Reverend Greer recently told me, and he was quoting Brother Hagin, who had said to him, but I appreciated it. He said, Brother Hagin would say that he rarely agreed. He said, I don't think he agreed with one minister ever 100%. That was pretty good. That was pretty helpful to me. Now, there is a difference when you're talking ministers and ministers, because ministers typically are digging into the word more than the standard congregation member is. And so, you know, and I throw that out there because some people disagree, but they disagree from a place of no knowledge. You know, you can sit there and say, this is my first time in church. I just don't agree with that because I don't like it. Well, just not agreeing with something because you don't like it doesn't make it a valid disagreement. It doesn't make it a valid argument, right? That's the three-year-old argument of us, right? We don't like that. Well, why'd you do this? Because. That's not a good enough answer, amen? Why don't you agree with it? Well, just because. I just don't like it. Well, you have to have reasons for that, amen? But walking together is an important thing. God has called us together. And what's interesting about the body of Christ is God doesn't call us together based on our looks. He doesn't, because, I mean, let's just face it. I mean, this is a pretty good-looking church, but there's many churches that aren't. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying, you know, and but you know, God doesn't call us together according to looks. He doesn't call us together according to ability or talent. Thank God, because Family Church Mayville would not exist. Praise the Lord. He doesn't call us, you know, according to our height. Praise the Lord, because Family Church Mayville would not meet that mark. Amen. Glory to God. We don't have all, we have a few tall people in here, but it didn't start tall. It started short. Amen. So God isn't calling us according to all these outward circumstances, these circumstances or these things that we generally weigh the value in people, or the things that we generally weigh the value in whatever. He doesn't need your knowledge. He just needs your willingness. He doesn't need your ability. He just needs your yes. Amen. And so as we understand this, can two walk together unless they agree? The answer is no. So what agreement then is needed to walk together? Is it complete agreement, or is it agreement in scope or vision? You know, what I've noticed as a pastor now for just 7 years, I've noticed that one of the things where people separate is where people either get connected or don't get connected. The people that are blessed or the people who aren't blessed are people who connect to the scope or the vision of what God has called them to. You know, God has supernaturally brought people into this church who have not stayed. And he has brought people in here, and he has done things in people supernaturally here who have not stayed. And the question would remain, you know, and I remember saying at least to several of these people at several different times, you know, you've been here for maybe even a few years now, and now you're leaving, and I haven't preached anything different. I don't preach any new doctrine. I haven't gone on some new kind of thing. I'm still saying the same things. I still say, you know, I talk about, you know, not living in sin. And I still talk about church, you know, being in church and the importance of it. And being, not just being in church, but being connected to a church. And all these things, to how you receive the word and all these things. And not getting into offense. I still say the same stuff. Praise the Lord. But something has changed for you. And what has changed generally in people that are like that is they have never connected to the vision. They've never connected to what's going on. They've never realized that God has placed them in this place for a reason.
Right.
See, we all have purpose as we come together, and we need to understand that. We need to embrace that purpose. Amen? The two most significant post-conversion, there's two very significant post-conversion questions every believer should ask themselves. Amen? And you should continually ask yourself and make sure that you're staying in line with this. All right? You ready?
Yep.
This is post-conversion. This means you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and now you're like, what do I do with this? There's two, the most important questions you can ask is, number one, where has God called me?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't know where God has called you, there is going to be a day when the devil comes to try to rob you of your blessing. And the first way he's going to do that is by attacking the place where God has called you. But if you know that God has called you somewhere, then you won't be moved. And this is exactly the type of thing that Jesus was talking about when he was talking about building on the rock versus building on the sand. You know, if you don't know, if you're just building on shaky ground, if your Christianity is just based on your faith and nothing else, just based on your idea of God and nothing else, well, listen, that's shaky, because that can change. How do I know? Because my understanding of the word has changed over the past 10 years. But you know what hasn't changed? The calling.
Yeah.
The direction, the places where God has put me.
Yeah.
I know where God has called me. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so much easier when you're dealing with those thoughts of offense. Where you're dealing with those thoughts of, you know, how do I deal with this? This situation happened, or this situation is happening. And let me tell you, situations are going to happen. The devil will see to it that situations happen that try to remove you from the place where you're at. And what I'm talking about here is not just being connected to Family Church Mayville. But I am talking about every believer in every church, in every place, all over the earth needs to ask themselves the same thing. Where has God called me? Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
The second question that you would ask once you, and really after you figured out where he's called you, the second question you'll ask yourself is, why has he called me there?
Right.
This is a question that will develop over time. But the thing that I've learned about the Lord, the thing that the Bible teaches us very clearly about the Lord, is that God sets people in places for various reasons, very rarely for reasons that they wanted.
Sure.
God didn't place me here because I wanted to be here. He placed me here because this is where he was going to use me. And God is going to place you in places. Now, this can be on a large scale, you know, something like where am I going to go to church or what town am I going to be in? But it could also be in smaller scale because these are questions that you're going to continually ask yourself. And you will ask yourself questions and answer questions sometimes based on the answer that you know in your heart of what is so. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So if you know God has called you to a place, then that can open up doors of reason for you that you couldn't see before. See, the problem with a lot of Christians is they're just kind of floating around. They're just kind of doing the Christian thing, floating around and go to this church, go to that church, I'll do this, I'll do that. It doesn't really matter whether you go to church, just as long as you go to church. All of this is not true, and none of that is scriptural. All of these things matter. It matters that you are where God has called you to be. And I'm not saying that God has had to call you here. I'm just saying you have to know where it is that he's called you.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So why has he called me there? In that, there is an abundance of things that you can start going down. You see, we talk about Jeremiah 29:11. We love the idea that God has a plan. When I first learned that God had a plan for me, and that plan was not destruction, that plan was not to tear me down, but that plan was to use me for his glory. When I first learned that, that was exciting to me. But see, we can't find his plan without answering these questions. We have to know why God has called, where God has called us, but then we have to know why God has called us.
Yeah.
Christians, so many times we're going, you know, I had this quote last night, a quote from the Holy Spirit last night as I ministered the word. How did it go? Praise the Lord. Let me go back to last night's message because I'll have to preach that all over to you again. Then you got to stick around because then I got to get to today's message too. So,
amen.
Amen. The reason so many are not being fruitful in life as one who is producing what they should be producing,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, none of us would argue with that. Well, that's what fruitful means. And if you are arguing with it, don't, because you're being deceived.
No.
What I'm telling you is the truth. Amen.
Yes.
Being fruitful as life is producing what in life is what producing what you should be producing.
Yes.
In other words, when you have the promise of God and you say, well, I don't see that in my life, that means you are not seeing fruit in your life. And so you need to see fruit in your life, amen?
Yes.
But what I heard in my spirit was the reason so many are not being fruitful in life is because they are not being faithful in life.
Wow.
See, the Bible has called us to faithfulness. And if we're not going to be faithful people, we're not going to be fruitful people.
Yeah.
And so we have to learn where God has called us because, and this is a decision I can't make for you. This is the greatest thing about this message is it takes me bossing you around completely off the table. Yeah, I don't direct your life.
Great.
Isn't that great? I you don't have to come to me and say, well, Pastor Jeff is trying to make me do. No, all you got to do is look to the Word.
Yeah.
The Word is your direction. If you won't let the Word be your direction, well, then we can't help you. God can't help you. So you might as well just go live the life you're going to live. But, you know, God wants to help you.
Yeah.
But there is one of the things that God requires is faithfulness.
Yeah.
He requires us to be faithful people. Amen. And so if we're not being faithful people and we can't be that, if we don't even know what we're to be faithful to. This seems so basic, but honestly, this is probably the greatest struggle for most Christians.
Yeah, you're right.
Continually staying in the plan of God, continually keeping themselves in the place where they know that God has them. Because it's in that place that God will put you is where all the blessings in your life will come, because that's where the plan is.
That's right.
God's place is the plan. God's place is the blessing. Amen. Glory to God. And so that is where he's leading us to. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Absolutely not. We will not walk into the fullness of the plan of God unless we agree with them. Number one, that there is a plan. And if there is a plan, we have to recognize that there's a place for the plan. And if we understand that there's a place for the plan and that there's a place for us to be in the plan, then there's also a reason that we're going to be there. And so if God has, God didn't just say, hey, you know what? They needed a church. I'm going to send them here. God doesn't do things that way. Because why does God put people in churches? He puts people in churches so they'll grow.
Yeah.
He brings, you know, the purpose of the local church is to help you grow into the things of God so that you can go out there in the world and be the church.
Yeah.
You know, what I do to you is what you should end up being doing to other people. That's what God has called us to. He's called us to go out into the world. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel, right?
Yes.
But he wasn't saying that to the pastors. He was saying that to the you. If you're a you, then it belongs to you, that applies to you, and that's what you need to be doing. But see, people get so distracted by life, they get so distracted by all the things that are going on. Well, I want to be here, I want to be here, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be here. Listen, it does, none of that stuff matters. You know what, my wife and I were driving yesterday, and we were driving out to Corey, and I was complaining about a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
I was complaining about a restaurant. And then the Holy Spirit dealt with me and said, you don't have any reason to complain.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm a Christian. Christians have no reason to complain. If you're complaining, you're a Christian, you don't know who you are. Ouch, hallelujah, I was complaining. So don't get mad at me, because I was the one complaining, amen? I wasn't picking on you. You're all sitting there saying like, oh yeah, now, because you know, you, as soon as I talked about complaining, you instantly started thinking about areas you've been complaining in. And then when I said that if you're a Christian, you have no business being complaining, then all of a sudden you got offended, amen? You know what I'm talking about. I know, listen, I've sat in services too. I know how it goes. You don't know how it goes from my end, but I know how it goes from both ends. And both ends is very similar. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not going there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody got it. Thank you. Hallelujah. They can be very similar, though. Well, okay. Just depends on what's coming out. Amen. My wife told me to stop, so that's my cue. But we don't have any reason to complain, because if we know who God, like, complaint is not something that God understands, in the sense of it's not something he accepts, it's not something that he's okay with. And the reason is because God, you know, God never complains.
Right.
He doesn't murmur. In fact, a whole group of people got put into the wilderness for a bunch of years because they complained and murmured.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
God doesn't like complaining and murmuring, just so you know. And so if you want your prayers to be not hindered, if you want to be getting the answer and being led into the things, and you want the fullness of the plan of God in your life, you're going to have to start looking at your complaining. You're going to have to start looking at those things and thinking, you know why God doesn't like complaining? Because God is a God of change. When something isn't right, God changes it. When something is broken, he fixes it. This is who our God is, right? This is why he's called us together, because you weren't right, and he's going to change it. You were broken, and he's going to fix you. Aren't you glad? Amen? I love that about our God. And if you go along a little ways and you break something, God will fix it. This is our God. And so he says there's no reason to complain, because the only ones who really have a right to complain are those who have no ability to change anything. But God says, I've given you reason to think that you don't have an ability to change things. I've given you every ability to change them. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Mark 3. See, somebody in here is not going to like that, and they're going to, but how can we walk together unless we're agreed?
Yeah.
You know, the agreement is that the plan, that there's a plan, that we recognize that there's a plan, and we're going to move in that direction together.
Yeah.
There'll be different aspects of the plan.
Sure.
There'll be different roles in that plan. But as we move in that plan together, it's going to, all things will balance out. Amen. Mark 3. It's important for a church to recognize these things, because if a church knows these things, if these things are driven into your heart, all things in your life are God has intended all things in our life to work out of the plan. So whatever plan he has in our lives, God has intended that all things in our life will sprout from that place. How you connect to that determines, and there's so much scripture on this. You know, we've been in this church many times. We've talked about the different kinds of ground. Last week I talked about it in Corey. You know, the ground matters, the different kinds of ground matters, and we know that how it's planted matters and where it's planted matters and all that stuff. And so we get these examples time and time again, and it's all about being connected to God and what he's doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's why I say my mind can be changed at any point in time given the word. If somebody gives me the word, and I'm not just talking about pull something out of context and here, throw this at me, but if you can present a case in the word, I'd change any belief.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
There's no belief that I hold to. There's no doctrine that I hold to so strongly that can't be changed with the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Mark 3:24. It says here, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Means cannot stand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cannot means can't.
Right.
Cannot means won't.
Right.
Cannot means it doesn't.
Yeah.
It won't. It ain't gonna. However you want to place it, or however you want to say it, that's what it means. A kingdom divided cannot stand. This is why in so many churches, you know, the government would love to see this too. Do you understand that? There's a lot of manipulation in the government according to churches. There's a lot of that apply to churches. There's a lot of things that our government tries to do and other governments try to do to stifle the church. Did you know this?
Yes.
This is an actual thing.
Right.
This is why it does matter how we vote.
Sure.
It does matter like who we put in office, because those who are against the church, even if they are for everything else or seemingly for everything else that we like, if they're against the church, it should be an automatic no for us.
Right.
Why is that? Because that ultimately is the deciding factor. It has nothing to do with all that. They can promise you anything they want. Have you noticed that things change depending on who's in office? None of that stuff matters. But, excuse me, when they try to limit the church, that's where problems arise. The thing that the government would like to see is they would like to see churches be divided. They would like to see churches have opinions. They would like to see churches all stirred up, not going in the same direction. And why do they want to see that? Because a church that is like that is a church that has no power. Amen. Excuse me, I'm going to take just a quick sip while you look for the scripture that you already found. Praise God. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And so we see this principle doesn't just work on a big scale, but a small scale. In a nation that is quite divided, and what's happening? We're watching the nation fall apart.
Yeah.
Conversely, there's households, or on the other end of things, there's households that are doing the same thing.
Right.
A husband and wife are divided,
right.
And so what's happening? It's falling down. It's like a house of cards. It's falling apart. A house that is divided cannot stand. That's why the goal of every person who is married, or every person who has a household. The goal of every person in that household should be to get into agreement and to get there quickly. Why? Because it's all going to fall apart otherwise. There's power in numbers. There's power when we come together. But if now, that's not always possible. But as much as it's up to you, it should be possible. As much as you have say in it. You know, a lot of people the Bible's called us to this sacrifice. The Bible's called us to submit to one to another. The Bible has called us all to do this. It isn't a popular thing, but it is the truth. But the same thing applies to a church. A church where the people are going in every different direction and everybody has a vote and everybody's voting for their desires and not the things that God's doing. They're, it's a church that's being torn apart.
Right.
But churches where the power flows. Who wants to see the power flow?
Yeah.
Who wants to see people that are healed? Who wants to see people who are set free? Who wants to see, marriages that are restored? Who wants to see children who are raised up in the admonition of the Lord? Who wants to see these things? See all these things? Who wants to see miracle working power where people actually get to the point? Do you know how you get to the point of raising people from the dead? You don't do it separately. You don't do it everybody going in their own direction. You can only do it when everybody's going in the same direction. The miracle working power of God, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. You know, we've seen a lot of the power of God in different forms in some of our churches, but we've also seen a lot of fake.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest with you.
Yeah, right.
I've seen a lot of fake. I've seen a lot of times where people are like, oh, it's the power of God. It ain't the power of God at all. And how do you know? Because nothing changes.
Right.
If it's the power of God, something's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't want the fake.
Right.
Because one of the things I know is if you embrace the fake, you're never going to have the real. I don't want it just, I'm not going to fake it till I make it. I want the power of God. And the way that you get that is by sticking to the word and sticking to the truth and coming together as one unit, as one body, coming together and receiving what God will deliver. But we can't do that if we're all running in our own different directions. Amen. We can't do that because we're called together. Why has God called us together? Because none of us can on our own, but we all can together. Amen. What God wants to do in the group is greater than what he's going to do in your life individually. It will bless you. It will bless your life individually, and it should bless you. But if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. This applies to God's kingdom, but it also applies to the devil's kingdom. How do we know this? Because that's the context in which Jesus was using it. they were saying that he was casting out Satan by the devil. And he said, well, that wouldn't work because a kingdom divided, even if Satan's kingdom is divided, isn't going to stand. Amen. And so we know that we need this. And this should be the desire of the hearts of every Christian. What's the vision? What's the overall, what are we trying to get to? What are we trying to accomplish here? Yeah. Amen. That's why you come in, maybe when you come into church, you come in for you, which is fine. Come in for you when you first when you come in. But when you go on from there, if you stay in that place of it's always about you, then dear Jesus, you never get it. You never got it. And you're never going to see the power of God in your life. And we're never going to see the power of God, the things that God would do through your connection to the body as you add your part, because you're not adding your part. We need to bring our part. See, a lot of people, they're like, you know, you might even be sitting here today and say, well, Pastor Jeff, this isn't my issue today. My issue today is I got this going on in my life. Yes, this is your answer. Get connected to something that's bigger than you, because your issue keeps you focused on you, and you are quite small. You know what's interesting about being in an airplane? People become very small. Yeah. Issues become, from a distance. Right. You all look like my friend. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was probably going to mix up a couple songs there. You don't know where we're getting. But the issues up there, when you get up high, when you get up above things, when you go to a different level, all of a sudden everything that's lower, it doesn't seem so complicated anymore. It makes more sense. You know, when you're driving down a road, you're like, why would they do this? Why would they bend it this way and that way? Why did they, you know, put this intersection there? But when you're flying over at a couple thousand feet, it makes a lot more sense. You say, oh, it's laid out quite nicely. Or you look at a map, or sometimes it's not. But you understand that you can see things from a greater perspective. So when we are focused on just what we are dealing with, what we're focused on is that small little problem that we don't see the answer for. Do you know if there's a problem, the answer is always big. It's got to be bigger than the problem. Yeah. If the answer isn't bigger than the problem, the answer can't help.
Right?
Right? I'm helping you here. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If the answer to the problem is not bigger than the problem, the answer will not change the problem. And so if you're focused on the problem, you're not focused on anything bigger than the problem, you're focused at how big the problem is. But where your focus needs to go to is how big the answer is. And this is the hope that we have that the world doesn't have, but I still have to tell Christians that they have this hope. Why do we have to convince Christians that God is actually bigger than the problem? Whatever you're facing, God is bigger than it. Whatever's coming against you, God is bigger than it. But if you stay focused where you're at, then you're never going to grow to that place of being bigger than your problem. Why has God called us together? Why has he put so many parts? Because you all got problems. We all got problems. Everybody's got problems. Problem, problem, problem. There's problems everywhere. There's enough problems to fill every household and every city and every state and every country. It doesn't matter. You understand? There's problems. Problems are big. Problems are many. Problems will follow you, but God is bigger than the problems. He's called us together to understand that there is something bigger than the problem. There is something bigger than you. You are part of the answer, glory to God, but there's something bigger than you. And then when we come together, but if we can't agree that we at least need to come together, and when I mean come together, I don't just mean show up at church, because there's plenty of people that show up to churches every Sunday, every Tuesday, or every Wednesday, or whenever else there's a service, they show up and they don't bring nothing. All they bring is their problems, and they say, I'm just gonna plop my problem down here in your chair and make a stinking mess out of your chair, smell up the air a little bit, but I'm not gonna do anything else. And see, that's a problem too. We don't need that. What we need is people who connect to the vision, people who say, I want what God wants. You might say, Pastor Jeff, well, what's the vision? Let's find out what the vision is. Let's be hungry for the vision. Because guess what? Even the vision that I have for the church starting off is not the vision of where God has taken us to. It's just the next step. But there's vision beyond the next step. And we don't always see the next step, but we will get there together as we grow together. Glory to God. But we have to be agreed. We can't be divided. We can't say, well, I have to come in and have church my way, or I'm not going to be part of your hokey pokey. I'm not gonna be part of your dance. I'm not playing good unless you do it my way. You can't do things like that, because that's separate. And when you come in and you just want your problem being magnified, what you're doing is that. You're coming in saying, I don't want anything greater, I just want my problem fixed. again, if, you know, we have some newer people here. If you're newer and you haven't been here before and you've come in seeking hope that you would get help to some problems, praise the Lord. That's what we're here for.
That's right.
We want to help you with that problem.
Yeah.
But one of the ways we're going to help you with that problem is getting you to understand that there's something on the other side that is much greater for you. If you're listening online, it's the same thing. There's help for your problems, but there has to be an agreement. There has to be a coming together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, the key to this is found in the next scriptures we're going to go to. And this is maybe one of the most important parts of a Christian's life. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Now, I don't know how far I'm going to get into what I've been into in these scriptures. But I'm just going to tell you this, that the scriptures we're going to are quite commonly taken out of context. The problem with taking scriptures out of context like this is that they become something lesser than what they were intended for. How many know that lesser isn't better?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Unless it's your waistline. I'm learning that. As my suits are all getting tight again, I'm learning that lesser needs to happen. But I'm talking about as the word goes, as far as the word goes. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Ephesians 5, we're going to go to verse 15. I'm not here to preach some new doctrine. I'm not, then that's not what I'm trying to do, but I'm trying to get, you know, my wife was talking about chewing on the lemon and chewing on the rind. That's what we're going to do here a little bit. We're going to chew on this. Amen? And I love this, and this is what's interesting about this, is because these scriptures, like I said, I think they're often taken out of context and then preached wrong. And the very first part of this section says, see then that you walk circumspectly, which means accurately. So the whole purpose of this section of scripture is telling us to be accurate.
Yeah.
So what do we got to do? Be accurate, right? If the Bible says, listen, there's kind of an underlying understanding that you read the word because you want accuracy in your life.
Yes.
But when you're reading the word to get accuracy in your life and it tells you to be accurate, what does that mean? It means take heed to something, because right here is something that is going to have a tendency to get on inaccurate, amen?
Yeah.
See then that you walk circumspectly or accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time or making the most of the time because the days are evil.
Yeah.
Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Yeah.
So this whole message is about the will of the Lord. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? God wants unity in his body. Now, I'm going to say something here that I've been learning and might seem a little strange to you, but there is a lot of truth to it. God isn't necessarily leading this church the same as he is leading another family church or another church in general. God is leading this church according to what he wants this church to do. Now, the principles will all be found in the word, but how we get there will vary from how other churches do things. That's why we have to be very careful at looking what other people are doing and saying that's wrong.
Right.
In fact, I've learned this a lot. We can't, and this is what denominationalism does. Denominationalism. If I'm a Baptist, well, by God, I'm a Baptist. Nobody else is right. If I'm a Pentecostal, well, by God, I'm Pentecostal. Nobody else is right. That's a wrong way of thinking. That's a bad way of thinking. Because listen, most good religions were all started, well, all good religions were started in a place. If they're doing the work of the Lord and they're getting people saved, it's good. They were started in a place of inspiration from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand that. That doesn't mean that people always do things accurately, and sometimes people will be doing things differently. That there has to be an allowance for that. But we are not, but see, that's another deception that so often Satan gets the church into, is he gets them looking at, well, what are other churches doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing? And why are they doing it that way? And then you start focusing, I don't like that. Well, you're not in that church, so who cares?
Yeah.
If you're not over there doing that, then what do you have to say about that?
Right.
It has nothing to do with you.
Right.
See, it's more of that complaining that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't complain about what the other churches are doing unless they're doing something bad that is, you know, hurting or something like that. But still, I don't spend time complaining about other churches. There's ministers. You go on YouTube and you find whole ministers that preach whole Sunday sermons about how this kind of people are bad or that kind of people are bad. How is that helping bring the body together? How is that helping strengthen the local body? It's not. Just complaining about somebody else. Well, praise the Lord. It's free, no charge. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, this is the one that's in question. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this scripture here, people use it for a lot of things that it was not intended for. Amen. And I'm not going to go down that road and try to tear all that apart because but I'm going to talk about what the scripture is talking about. Now, I've been doing some studying, and what's interesting is my first interaction with this scripture, when I started thinking it wasn't what, I don't think it says what you think it says or what you're saying it says. You know, I don't think it means that. Didn't happen because I was listening to somebody or studying something else. But I was reading the scripture and I thought, something doesn't jive there. And see, that's the Spirit talking to you. And so you look into that, start looking into it, start doing study, and that's what I did. I started studying, started reading commentary, started listening about this, looking into the scripture, digging in, even to the point of getting into some of the original language, the Greek, and trying to understand that and why, and listening to Greek scholars and what they would have to say about it. Believe it or not, there's quite a bit out there if you go digging. Amen. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Now, the first thing is it talks about do not be drunk with wine. And if you go up, if you read the scriptures before, in the chapter before and stuff like that, you start seeing all that this was obviously a problem, and it still is today. Drunkenness is a huge problem. The problem with drunkenness is that it creates this inability to think right. God, believe it or not, God's Spirit will not work in a mind that is not thinking right. That's why one of the first things he does is clean up the mind. Why do you think the Bible tells us to renew our mind or to transform our mind? Amen. It tells us to do that because it needs to be something different than what it was. Because as it was corrupted, it won't interact right with what God wants it to do. So we have to understand that if our mind is off, and that's what drunkenness does, is it distorts, it twists. Have you ever been around somebody who is very drunk? My wife and I were at a restaurant last week, and there was this, it was a kind of a restaurant, you know, there was a bar in it, and we were getting just some wood-fired pizza, and we were sitting there, and there was this drunk guy who decided that he wanted to sing. Have you ever seen this? Well, he wasn't a good singer. He sure thought he was. Man, as he was belting out, who was it, Van Morrison or whoever was on the radio, he was belting it out. Oh, I love this song. And he was singing super loud. Everybody else in the bar or in the restaurant were thinking the same thing. This man is a moron. Yeah. This guy, it sounds like an absolute doof. Doof, yeah. He sounds like an absolute doof. He's crazy. He's out of his head. But we all knew what it was, too. It was the drunk. It was the alcohol. See, in his mind, he was the best singer, and everybody wanted to hear him. But what was the truth? Nobody wanted to hear him. He was a terrible singer. He probably shouldn't even talk because even his voice was annoying. Amen? It was slurred. Yeah, but his voice was just annoying. He just had a, well, praise God, hallelujah. It's just the truth. And listen, I understand about annoying voices, believe me. You know, the point was is that this guy was just, he was completely out of his head. He completely thought something different. How is God going to work in somebody like that? How is God going to, you know, and the same thing is not just drunkenness. Of course, drunkenness, we can really say just a lack of sobriety. You know, it could be drugs as well, and various kinds of drugs, not necessarily just illegal drugs either. And so we have to be mindful of these things. Amen? But what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It literally, when you study this out, it literally means by means of the Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. As Wiest, it was a Greek scholar who did a lot of study. I've been studying a lot of his stuff. You know, Brother Hagin studied him. Not that I have to throw out names to get there, but he is a very accurate Greek. So I'm not saying he knows everything about the word, but I'm saying he was a very accurate Greek scholar. And he said it like this, similar to this, that the Spirit, and I'm giving you kind of the paraphrase, the Spirit is not a substance to be poured out. He is a person. And so when it says to be filled with the Spirit, what it's literally talking about is by means of the Spirit. By I remember early on hearing Brother Hagin saying this, and he actually got it from Weiss, and it is correct. It literally means to be continually filled by means of the Spirit. To be continually filled by means of the Spirit. This makes a lot more sense when we read scriptures over there in Galatians about walking in the Spirit. Or when we read over there in Romans about walking in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? It means that we're to continually live our lives directed, praise the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. By be filled with the knowledge of God, be filled with the direction of God by means of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Be constantly, moment by moment, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what it literally means. And so when we see that being filled with the Spirit, we're not just, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit, so I'm going to stumble around like a drunk man. That's not what the Scripture is talking about. I am not saying that the Spirit can't come on you and you won't act differently. I'm not saying that. I'm not judging that. That's not what I'm judging here. But what I'm saying is that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about being controlled, being submitted to and controlled by the Holy Spirit. The only way the Holy Spirit controls us, folks, this is important to us.
Yeah.
The only way the Holy Spirit controls us is by yielding ourselves to Him.
Yeah.
And the only way to yield yourself to Him, can two walk together unless they be agreed?
Yeah, right.
You have to agree that your way is not the way His way is.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. See, what a lot of times we do is we try to bring God down to our level and try to make Him something that we can understand. But we need to allow God to bring us up to His level and see who He is.
Yes.
Just trying to understand God with our human eyes and our human ears. That's why people, you know, there's some religions that don't have any interaction with the Spirit of God. And they read the Word, and you can memorize the Word. You can read it like a book and never have it change your life. Why doesn't it change your life? Because you're reading it with a human brain, with human eyes and human understanding. You're never going to get what God really meant. The only way that you can translate the Word correctly is to do it the way that the Holy Spirit wants it to be done or intended it to be done. The only way you can understand the Word is to understand it by means of the Spirit, which is interesting because the Holy Spirit is a major part of New Testament doctrine. Jesus, I mean, there's chapter after chapter after chapter in the New Testament that's all about the operation and the need for and the use of the Holy Spirit, what He's going to do and how He wants to do it.
Yeah.
And yet people are so inaccurate about the Holy Spirit all the time. They're making Him this and they're making Him that.
Yeah.
They make Him like a, you know, it's almost like a form of entertainment. The churches, this is what a lot of people think. There's churches that think, well, the Holy Spirit comes in, He's going to entertain us all. And that's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our teacher. He's our helper. He's the one who brings us into the fullness of the plan of God. Hallelujah. And there will be times that you can't explain. There will be times. Listen, I have been under the power of the Holy Spirit so much before that I couldn't stand, that I would be on the ground. Is that scriptural? Absolutely, it's scriptural. But that is not what I shoot for in life.
Right.
I'm not trying to fall out in the Spirit. I'm not trying to you understand. But we need to understand what being filled with the Spirit is, because being filled with the Spirit is something that we should be doing all the time. We should be continually walking in this filling that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us with.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But we can't get this. See, this is why churches are inaccurate, or churches are off, or they're not going in the same direction. Because like I said before, when you can just have a church vote and anybody can come in and vote, what you have is you have people that aren't spiritual at all come in and say, well, I want to vote too.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're just giving their natural ideas and opinions. I don't want natural ideas and opinions. You don't want my natural ideas and opinions. Praise God. Natural opinions and ideas, they don't get us very far. Not when we're coming together to do the work of the Lord. If we're going to, listen, we can't bring it all down to our level if we're going to go up higher where He is. You can't do it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so it goes on to say, speaking to one another. And this is a difference. This is also a difference. And this is some places where people, you know, I tell you, I read out of the New King James Bible for a reason. In the King James Bible, it says speaking to yourself. I don't believe that's accurate. And according to what I've studied out, that's not accurate. It's speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Now, if this totally rocks your world, well, you know, don't just fall off the horse yet. You know, we can come to some agreement here. But if you're also sitting there just saying, I don't have any idea what he's talking about, well, just know that there's more for you. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord that God has more for you. See, this is the thing, and this is the difference, and this is why this is important. And let me explain this. Because the world sees us. You realize that the world doesn't think that we believe this stuff because there's any proof to it. They think this is all just blind faith for all Christians. This is how the world looks at us. They look at you sitting here on a Sunday morning. You're just somebody who needed help in your head to get something. So just by blind faith, you're sitting there and somebody's going to talk to you about God, what their opinion of God is, and you're going to listen to them. And if you believe it, then that will help you. But it's not really real. You know, there's people that are kind of whispering on the side going, you know, but, you know, those Christians, they just needed more help. It's kind of the way a lot of people look at somebody who has to have a little head medicine to get through their day. You know what I mean? I was there. I used to have to take a lot of head medicine. I don't take near as much anymore. Praise the Lord. I don't take any. I only have the Holy Ghost now. Praise the Lord. But there was a time when I was overly medicated and stuff like that, heavily medicated, just to get through my day, just so I wouldn't kill myself. I mean, that's how rough my life, that's how in my head was. Amen. But God balanced all that out. He helped me through all that, helped me with all that. But a lot of people look at our faith as not being something that's real. I'm like it boggles my mind sometimes. I want to say to people, I don't always get the opportunity, but like, you don't really think that I devote my entire life to this just because it's something that I guess is right. Right. You know, like, the reason I stand in this pulpit is because I've experienced God tangibly, because God has invaded my life and done things in my life that were impossible. Impossible. I've seen God move. I've heard God's voice. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Some of them might want to put me in the hospital for that too. But this is the truth. This is our God. Our God is real. We don't serve a God who doesn't interact. Do you know a lot of Christians, they live that way. They pray to God, praise the Lord, but they don't really believe they're going to get an answer. And then they look at you cross-eyed if you say, oh yeah, God showed me this. What do you mean? Yeah, God, you don't be surprised, Christian, that your God is real. Don't be surprised that he wants to move on you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Do you know the decision to not submit to one another should cause fear in us? That's truth right there. And that'll help you. Submission is important. Amen. Praise God, hallelujah. The word filled also means to be filled up. I like this, to complete. So in other words, it gives us this idea when it says to be filled by means of God's Spirit. It means that we can't be complete unless he fills us. And that doesn't mean he pours himself into us, but that he fills us with the knowledge of who he is. You remember, it's the knowledge of Christ that saves us. It's the knowledge, and salvation is our not just our ability to get into heaven, but it's our ability to go through life, to make it through life, to make it through over those mountains, those hills, and all the problems that come at us, all those millions of problems that are around us. It's salvation that does that. Salvation is found in the knowledge of Christ. It's the knowledge that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us with. You know what else he fills us with? We have these things that we've talked about probably a few times called the fruits of the Spirit, right? Yeah. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit, and all 9 of those he wants to get operating in your life. Yeah. How is he going to fill you with that? Praise the Lord. It's not by jumping inside you. He's in you. Yeah. You can't, listen. Can you get more saved than the salvation you've already received? Is Jesus going to die for you again? No. Is he going to pour out his blood again? No. If you have the blood of Christ, you have the blood of Christ. There's no more to be had. He's put his spirit on the inside of us. How much more of his spirit can you get? You can't get any more of his spirit. It's all everything. And this is what God has been leading me to. You know, recently we talked about the fruits of the spirit, how they're already inside of us waiting for us to tap into it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're not preaching on those fruits today, but it's good. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Praise the Lord. And so if we understand these things, see, I had some issues with these things because I'm looking at what does it mean to walk in the spirit? Does it mean that the Holy Spirit is up there? Because that's kind of what people act like. Or he's going to come in and he's going to control me like this, you know, and make me do things and make me go over here and make me. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit fills us with the ability to know what to do. And as we submit our will to him, as we submit our, well, I don't want to go over there, but the Spirit says go over there. That's exactly how Paul walked around. Paul was a normal guy, man. He wasn't walking around like all weird and so all flaky. And you know what's funny is if you ever go to a real flaky Uber Pentecostal church, and I've been to some, people are flaky and they do that. They're like, ooh, and they start getting all like, you know, like, you know, it starts getting all kind of, but that's not God. God, you don't hear Jesus doing that. You know, because if you do that in a normal circumstance, if you go out to Walmart and start going like this, guess what people are going to do? They're not going to come running up to you. They're going to be like, get away from me. Praise the Lord. They don't want anything to do with you. See, this is the thing we have to understand. And I'm not saying that there's not time and place where things happen. Sometimes things happen, and I'm not even going to go there. But I'm going to say most people, most Christians in our camp, they want that to be the outflow of the Spirit. But the outflow of the Spirit, and I'm going to tell you, if you've never lived a crazy life, because I've lived crazy, yeah. Amen? There was a time I had every cop in Chautauqua County looking for me. He was, and this is what came across the scanner. He's armed, considered extremely unstable, and extremely extremely dangerous.
Yeah. Wow.
Praise the Lord. That's not somebody that you want at the party, amen? But that's what I used to bring. That's where I was. To the point now, and I'll tell you how much God has changed me now. I legally, in New York State, which is a very difficult thing to do, especially coming from the background I came from, but I legally today can carry a pistol. I have a license to legally carry a pistol. The New York State pistol permit is one of the hardest pistol permits to get in the entire country.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. See, that's what God has done in my life.
Yeah.
Now, praise the Lord. But I'm not that guy anymore. But see, that is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit gets into us and makes us useful to do the work. And yes, there will be miraculous signs and things happen and sometimes things we can't explain and stuff like that. But what we need to be striving for is to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
But we have to learn this place of agreement. And these are the steps that we do it. Lord, where would you have me to be? What would you have me to do? And I'm trying to close up here because Chantel killed my clock back there. Praise the Lord. Maybe it was Tammy. I don't know. Maybe they conspired together and they stopped it, but praise God. But our direction, praise the Lord, going forward. I don't know. What was that? They do that, yeah. Yeah. Our direction going forward should be to, should be the direction of the Lord. That's where we need to all just settle into and get into this place. Lord, if you've got me here, you've got me here for a reason. What is that reason? I'm going to tell you that reason won't be revealed to you overnight because I still don't know the full reason why I'm here. But I'm here, praise the Lord. And as I walk that out, God increases us, he blesses us, praise the Lord, and he's going to do the same for you. And when I mean increase you, again, I'm not necessarily, my focus is not financial or anything like that. My focus is increases you in the things of God. Amen. The peace, the fruits of the Spirit, they'll flow out of your life. And that's what we should all be after. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with Galatians 5:16, which says, I say then walk in the Spirit, or in the same thing here, the same translation, walk controlled by, directed by the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. As we walk out this life, let's walk it out in submission to God, submission to his Spirit and the direction he'll have us go, and just watch and see if your life don't change. Amen.
Amen.